Good morning and welcome to the show, Evan Bray. Great to have you here. Boy, you want to talk about impact weather? Brace yourself because it is coming. We are seeing it hit the west side of our province right now. In fact, freezing rain is literally been sweeping through Gull Lake, Swift Current. Just looking at the highway hotline, it looks as if a predominant piece of the highway between Moose Jaw and Swift Current, the number one highway, is completely closed down. Travel not recommended. That triangle between Swift Current down to Gravelburg up to Moose Jaw and now slowly making its way to the Regina area is indicative of the weather system that is moving swiftly through the province. We know it will bring high winds. We know it is going to bring an accumulation of snow. It looks as if the rain that is happening now in the southwest part of the province will turn to snow as it transitions through the day and through the province, and likely through the evening as well. The east side of the province, it sounds like, will be hit hardest with the snow. Yorkton, Kenora, Priestville area, likely to see that. So impact weather, absolutely. If you have to, well, let's put it this way. If you don't have to travel today, likely a good idea not to. Alter your plans if you can. Lots of different, even schools. We're staying on top of what schools are open and what are not. So our newsroom is abuzz. We've got the full team in working throughout the province on this impact weather, and we will keep you posted. And as always, by the way, I more than welcome your text messages. 1-877-332-8255. It really does help us stay connected to what the realities are out there in the communities and on the road. Okay, for the show today, we've got lots we can talk about. Political questions continue to swirl. Will we see an election next year? Are you a person that thinks we will? Will more conservative MPs cross the floor? Will there be, and this is an article I read in the National Post yesterday by Tasha Carradine, who's been on our program many times, will there be any conservative challengers to Pierre Poilievre at next month's conservative leadership review? All of that and more. Oh, and including, I'm going to put this in our open line segment coming up after nine as well. The new ridiculous, and I mean ridiculous with a capital R, direction by a group in Quebec that will have you shaking your head on the height and slope of snow piles in the schoolyard. And the fact that kids, if they want to play on them, might have to wear helmets. Just when you think the world couldn't get more goofy, you see something like this coming out of Eastern Canada. Okay, also today, Saskatoon City Council deciding whether or not horse-drawn sleigh rides are happening in the city. The leader behind that push, Rich Pilon, will pop by our studio for a chat. U of S President Peter Stoichev, in his last days as president, will talk to him, reflect on his time in the role. And we're going to talk tech gifts under the tree. This year, you know, drones and gaming systems and interactive toys will be hot. What was the coolest tech gift you got as a kid? This is going to be a fun conversation. The tech that defined our generation. We'll talk about that as well. All right, let's get going with today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, The Big Talker.
Well, this is the time of year we are reflecting back on the year that was, what happened in 2025, and maybe in some cases the year that wasn't, because although we talked about tariffs a lot, we also saw what I see as a bit of a distinction between perception and reality, because we did brace for heavy tariff impact. I'm not so sure we saw it to the extent that we were worried about. CUSMA definitely stood in front of it. I think 85 to 88% of products in Saskatchewan were covered under that existing CUSMA agreement, which meant that tariffs were not felt quite as heavily. We know that there were some industries impacted greatly in Canada. Look at the auto industry. We saw layoffs. We've seen plants being promised to move south of the border. In Saskatchewan, we're rich with commodities. We are an exporting province. Has it hit us the extent that we were worried about originally? I wanted to bring back our guest, Stuart Smythe. We've had Stuart on the program before. He's a professor in agriculture and resource economics from the University of Saskatchewan. And Stuart Smythe joins me again this morning. Stuart, thanks for taking the call.
My pleasure. Good morning, Evan.
You made it to work okay this morning. Will you make it home after the storm hits? That's what you and I have to figure out.
Yeah, it
it could be a very interesting drive. You know, when you talked about the horse-drawn sleighs, that might be our best option.
That's right. Rich Pilon might be onto something there. Can you reflect back on the year, Stuart? We've talked a lot about the tariffs. What have you seen in terms of the impact in our province, particularly in our resource sectors?
Yeah, so I mean this revolving wheel of tariffs, you know, coming on at one rate and being ratcheted up and then taken off and being reapplied, you know, not just by the American government, China, India are also involved in this. So it's been a bit of a roller coaster year on these kinds of things. And so with this latest announcement, it's raising a lot of concern, especially for the, you know, our large potash sector here in just what is going to roll out in the new year regarding this, because the U.S. imports about $4 billion worth of potash or fertilizer from Saskatchewan, and it's a huge requirement for their production sector. And if they don't get it from Canada, their farmers simply aren't going to have enough unless they're going to Russia to buy it.
You know, when you say that the farmers aren't going to have enough, I read a story from the U.S. actually that was in an ag magazine, if you will, and they were talking about the impact it could have on basically food in the United States, because of course fertilizer helps grow. It helps the productivity of growth, and without it, you might see less potatoes, for example.
Yeah, not just potatoes, Evan, but I think, you know, the mainstream commodities, like, so you could be looking at higher fuel prices because you have reduced corn yields, and corn is a big driver of ethanol production in the U.S. You could have higher vegetable prices because vegetables require a lot of essential nutrients, and if those are cut back and restricted, we would also see that then in Canada, because we import about 80% of our fresh produce from the U.S., so we would notice higher food prices because of this too.
Mm-hmm. What about impact on our industries? Like, we haven't, if I look, and I'm talking predominantly, of course, in Saskatchewan, but whether it's potash, whether it's uranium, some of these industries, we haven't seen what appears to be the significant impact that some sectors like the auto sector have had with layoffs and those types of things. Is that accurate? Would you say that we have weathered the storm fairly well through the year?
Yeah, I think so. The only one that might be in there, Evan, is our steel producer in Regina, right, that I'm sure they've had some impacts. And I don't really think we have much of a forestry sector remaining in Saskatchewan anymore to be adversely impacted by the forest tariffs. That's more Alberta and BC and probably Quebec.
Mm-hmm. And agriculture, you talked a little bit about that. Those tariffs not coming from the United States, China predominantly, India more recently. Our province, though, appears to be as proactive as we can be from our government standpoint on trying to get out there and do things to mitigate the impact of these tariffs. Could we be doing more? Should we be doing more, both provincially and federally?
Yeah, I think provincially they've chosen a very wise strategy, you know, and having that trade mission to China certainly opened the door to have some conversations. And there was announcements by the federal government that those consultations or dialogues continued in October, November, but there certainly hasn't been anything come out in, you know, this month about the state of where that those, you know, oppressive Chinese tariffs are, particularly on our canola exports, but other commodities as well, and it would be really nice to see some movement on those, certainly in the first month of the new year.
Stuart Smythe is my guest, professor in agriculture and resource economics, University of Saskatchewan. Being an economist and following closely trade and economics of resource transfers between our country and others, what is your perspective of what the new CUSMA agreement could look like, will look like? Will we see something that is somewhat replicating what we've got now, or are we likely in store for something fairly new?
I think for the most part, you know, the Republicans that will be involved in the decision-making process are happy with the existing agreement. I mean, President Trump has made it very clear that Canada needs to have negotiations about the future of supply management. But I've never seen anybody, whether it's in the Ag Secretariat or the Trade Secretariat, to say that Canada has to end supply management. And even the American Dairy Association is saying they're not calling for an end to supply management in Canada, but there has to be more concessions. So I think that's going to be something that, that the federal government is going to have to, you know, they've essentially laid a minefield for themselves by passing this bill unanimously in the fall that says Canada cannot negotiate supply management concessions in any trade agreement. So they brought this on themselves.
The supply management conversation, which we had with you last time you were on the show, seems to be a non-starter. There's just no political will, it feels like, anywhere to look at this in Canada.
Exactly. And that's the big challenge, because it's a huge part of increased food prices. We're the average household's paying about $450 a year more for supply management just on milk products or dairy products. So when we see food prices expected to go up another 4 or 5% in 2026, you know, that extra $40 a month would go a significant way towards addressing those increased food costs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Stuart Smythe is my guest, professor in agriculture and resource economics, U of S. I wanted to talk with you, Stuart, about the equalization payments. I know it was about a week ago or a little more. Next year's equalization payment amounts were handed out to the provincial finance ministers. Once again, we see a big goose egg in Saskatchewan, Alberta, and BC, yet we are seeing billions in $13.9 billion will be going to Quebec, who, of course, we know generate lots of revenue through hydropower, for example. Speaking of political will to look at a topic, is this something that ever will change?
I think it's extremely difficult, because both Alberta and Saskatchewan governments were pushing over 10 years ago when the Conservatives were last in power under Prime Minister Harper. And you know, that should have been an ideal opportunity, but clearly the political clout of Ontario and Quebec within the Harper government meant that conversation simply could not move forward in any meaningful way. And so now, with virtually no representation from both of those provinces at the federal cabinet table, I just don't see any window of opportunity opening up, certainly between now and 2030, for a meaningful conversation about how to rebalance that and make it fair for all of the provinces.
We when we had you on the show last time, we talked about the supply management system in Canada and why, when it was implemented, it made sense to the politicians, to the decision makers that were making the decisions then, but perhaps it's outlived its shelf life now. Is this the same? Like, was there a case to be made at one time, and we've just, through manufacturing and production increases, just seen this kind of billow out of proportion? Or does the formula still fit today from an economic standpoint, in your mind?
They're going to need some type of a formula. I mean, I don't think we could move to a situation where it's just completely scrapped and, it's kind of a lobbying free-for-all. So I think, what would need to happen is to have an evidence-based conversation about energy production, resource production, and treat all provinces equally. So, you mentioned that Quebec draws a significant portion of their provincial budget from reselling energy to the United States. So that obviously needs to be counted into the formula. Same as if Saskatchewan was selling power to North Dakota or Montana. It should be equal for all provinces. But, and I think that's the concern, is that it's just the pendulum has swung too far east this time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always appreciate having you on the program, Stuart. Thank you so much for your time. We'll continue to watch. I mean, I kind of dismissed the potash threat of fertilizer tariffs that Donald Trump threw out. It was at the end of an interview he was doing. I'm not holding high hope that that's going to materialize. Let's hope not. If it does, we'll probably have you back on the program for another discussion.
That sounds good, Evan. You have yourself a Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much. Same to you. All the best through the holidays. Stuart Smythe, love having him on the show. University of Saskatchewan, professor in agriculture and resource economics. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Another check-in on the highway conditions and more of your thoughts on what the roads were like if you were out on them this morning. Coming up next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.